I'm really happy to announce the next talk, partly because I'm a mom and I have kids. It's a really intriguing and exciting project that our speakers are going to present. CryptoKids is about a project to empower kids and provide tools for them to be more secure and to take charge of their own data. So please give a warm round of applause to the speakers, Henk from the Waag Society, an Amsterdam-based foundation working on art, technology, and science, who is working together with Evelyn from Bits of Freedom, the Dutch digital rights movement, on this project.
Wait.
A child born today will grow up with no conception of privacy at all. They'll never know what it means to have a private moment to themselves, an unrecorded, unanalyzed thought. And that's a problem, because privacy matters. Privacy is what allows us to determine who we are and who we want to be.
Wie zijn we en wie zullen we worden in de nieuwe digitale werkelijkheid? Een werkelijkheid waarin we onze data, al dan niet vrijwillig, niet alleen aan Silicon Valley, maar ook aan de inlichtingendiensten afstaan. We surften voor u langs activisten, voorspellers.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Here we are. Okay. Kids grew up in a world where the internet surrounds them, where being online is the normal state of being. This provides young people with a large amount of opportunities, but also means that we have to educate them about potential risks. CryptoKids does just that. Together with Bits of Freedom, Network Democracy, and Waag Society, we develop a series of lessons for kids aged 10 to 14 in which they can gain insight in the technical structure of the internet, how data works, who's actually in charge online, and why privacy matters. But more importantly, we try to empower them and provide tools for them to be more secure and to take charge of their data when they cruise the internet. CryptoKids had two first pilot versions in 2014. In 2016, as of last year, we started to create educational material for teachers and others interested in the topic. The lessons will be available to teacher-teacher sessions later on this year under the title Who's the Boss on the Internet? All material will be made open and public online. Okay, that's my mouse. We were still not very happy with this, with the title, CryptoKids. So we started CryptoKids and then we called it the Bosch on the internet. And so the main reason why we actually we like the word CryptoKids, But so this is the reason why we won't use it in the future. So this is the kids program of the NSA. And it's trademarked. So yeah. More than 3 years ago, the idea for CryptoKids started. And it was short after Snowden came out with the many publications. So many crypto parties were organized, but we also wanted to reach children. And we wanted to go a bit further than the regular media wisdom programs that were given in many schools. So we put a lot of in this program from our experiences we got from FAB School program, a program we are running for the last 5 years. And within FAB School, we want to research how to give youngsters the tools they need for tomorrow's society. So art, creativity, entrepreneurship. Yeah. We want to find out how creative design processes and working spaces can play a role in education. Confucius is a Chinese teacher, editor, politician, philosopher, way big. So he lived 500 years before Christ. He once said, "It's the FAB School." Yeah. I hear, I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. So that's also the basis of the FAB School lessons. So to let children learn by making. The first tryout was in 2014 with kids from primary schools, so age 8 year to 12, more or less. We confronted them when they came in with some information we found about them on Google. And we explained to them how we found this information. Next, they were asked to do the same and search information about their parents. While searching, images from the websites they visited, so also images about of their parents, popped up on the beamer in front of the room using DriftNet. That's this. So DriftNet is a program which listens to network traffic and picks out images from TCP streams it observes and displays them on the beam. Half a year later, we did a second and third tryout with teenagers in the age of 14, 16 years old. And we discovered that you cannot copy a successful module like this DriftNet thing. Because as soon as the kids, so the teenagers, found out what actually happened, they hacked our session. So within seconds, also all kinds of porn and open wound images were beamed on the screen. But anyway, we learned a lot from this tryout. the outcome, after lots of discussion, was that we wanted to make a series of instructables for teachers, so that the Critical Kids program had a more widespread reach than a couple of lessons we could give ourselves.
So, Henk said that the first tryouts were in 2014, and we've been working on the material now for about a year, very actively. Before we started working on the material, there were a few things that we had to keep in mind. So the first one is, we should assume that there are no computers in these classrooms. So everything that we make has to be able to be done analogically. Second of all, the internet and privacy is a topic that makes teachers pretty insecure. It's not a topic that they have a lot of knowledge about. And what we're asking from them, to make it even worse, is to not go and learn everything themselves and then reproduce that information, but give the kids in their classrooms the tools to find out stuff themselves. And that's kind of a shift in thinking that teachers also in other fields are having to make, but is really difficult. So we ended up making six modules, or six different classes, that can be done together and separately. The first one really starts with the question, why does privacy matter? So it's called, is there anyone here that doesn't speak Dutch? Okay, good. So this is all in Dutch, but all the material, like Henk said, will be made available, so you can use it and translate it if you want. Can we go back one? Yeah. So the first one is called Who May Know Everything About Me? And what we get children to do here is map the people that they know, map their online behaviors, so the websites and the apps and the games that they use, and combine those maps to see which information they share with whom. And the sort of main takeaway is there's no person that shows up in all these different circles, so there's actually no one that you share everything with. Then the second module is called Is the Internet Everywhere? And this is where we really look into the technical infrastructure of the internet. We ask children to build the internet. So we use straws for cables, we use wooden skewers for radio masts, and we ask them to string together how they think, for instance, a Snapchat goes from one phone to another one. And once they've kind of gotten used to the idea that the internet is a kind of a chain of all these different elements, we give them challenges. So we say, for instance, build what you think happens when you go to a news website, but also, what would you have to do if you want to block access to a certain website? Where in the chain would you have to interfere? The third one is, this is my empty slide that I've removed from this presentation four times and it keeps reappearing. So in the third module we look at, it's a really playful way of looking at kind of vintage forms of cryptography. So we look at the Caesar cipher, Pigpen, Book cipher are a few that we look at. And why we do this is because we think it's really important that kids understand that encryption consists of an original message, an encrypted message, and a key. And because these older forms of cryptography are a bit easier to understand and they can actually be solved, we think this is a good way to introduce the topic. Four has been the most difficult one. We're calling it Who's the Boss? And this is where we look at cookies and trackers. So how do you explain cookies and trackers without a computer? We don't really know yet. So if anyone has a good idea, please tell us. But what we want to tell kids or have them do is look at what data is collected by them, about them, who it's collected by, and what can be done with that data. And this is the module that we're having the most difficulty with so far. The fifth one, here we return to encryption. And you know that you're doing something exciting when the pages start filling up with locks and keys. Here we look at contemporary encryption. So we discuss public and private keys, and we borrow a way to explain that from an organization called Computer Science Unplugged. Has anyone heard of them? Okay, they're really neat. They've been around for a long time, and this way that they have to explain public-private keys is also very, very old. But it's really, really good, and we're going to give you a little demonstration of it in a few minutes. And Computer Science Unplugged, I think their tagline is computer science without a computer, which has also inspired our work. Then the final module is called Internet Knows Best, and here we look at algorithms. So we get kids to design their own self-driving car. And when they do that, they have to think of things like, what kind of sensors do you need? What kind of data do you need? What kind of data do you transmit? And then at the end of the session, we present them with a few programming dilemmas, which I'm sure some of you will be familiar with, but stuff like you have the choice between hitting and killing someone who runs a red light, or swerving and badly injuring yourself and your passenger. What do you do? And this is what it looks like. really what we've struggled with so far is not what could on earth could we talk about, because the topics are really endless, but really how do you explain things? And I think there are two approaches that we commonly take that this little video really shows really nicely.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Okay, well, the button on the side, is it glowing? Yeah, you need to turn it on. The button turns it on? Yeah. You do know how a button works, don't you? No, not on clothes.
Hello, IT. Yeah, huh? Have you tried forcing an unexpected reboot?
No, there you go. No, there you go. I just heard it come on. No, that's the music you hear when it comes on. No, that's the music you hear when it... I'm sorry, are you from the past?
You see, the driver hooks a function by patching the system call table, so it's not safe to unload it unless another thread's about to jump in there and do its stuff, and you don't want to end up in the middle of invalid memory. Hello?
Oh, really? Really? Well, why don't you come down here and make me then? Huh? What, you think I'm afraid of you? I'm not afraid of you! You can come down here any time and I'll be waiting for you!
So does anyone recognize themselves in either of these two characters? Yeah? what we've tried to do is find some sort of middle way between turn it off and on again and don't get stuck in invalid memory. And I think this example of how to explain something that's quite difficult, like public-private keys, in the way that Computer Science Unplugged does it, is really nice. So we want to give you a little demonstration. And we need a few volunteers to help us and come up on the stage to do so. So could we get about three people? Three wonderful people. You came to an educational talk. You should have known there was going to be something interactive. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi.
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 Hello. So, welcome on this beautiful day stage.
Give them applause.
This is the internet. This is the internet. We're going to ask you to stand on a straight line between me and Hank. Okay. And then...
You have to make a line.
Very smart. Oh, you're going to be fun.
I'll be best TV.
So, this is the internet. I have these cookies, and I want to get them to Hank, and I want it to happen securely. So, I've learned that if I want to keep something safe, I have to put it in a box, and I have to lock it. So that's what I do on the internet, too. So, I have my little hangslot, my padlock. I don't know why I thought it was important that you knew the Dutch word for that. So, I lock it. I keep the key, and I ask the internet to pass this on to Hank. Will you please pass this on?
I knew this was it. Give back to me.
So let's assume we didn't just get attacked. And the internet is a very friendly place. Now what has happened, we're ignoring the internet. Now what has happened is the cookies are still secure, but Hank has no way of opening the box, so he can't actually get the message. I can't send the key because I can't be completely sure that the message actually arrived to Hank. So I have to keep this with me. So there's one other way, and when we do this in the class, we ask kids to sort of come up with ideas of how we could work this out, but we're just going to go through it real quick now. And I think you might have come up with a solution too fast anyway. So there's one way to do it. Hank can add his own padlock to the box. So he locks the message with his padlock and key, or his public and private key. Then he gives it back. The internet is better behaved, fast learning. So we now have the box with two locks, Hank's and mine. I unlock mine. And what we get now is the box is still secure. It's been secured with Hank's padlock that he's given to me. And now I send the message back to him. Thank you. Very good internet.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we have now is a secure message having been sent over the internet that Hank is able to unlock. Yay! Ta-da! Okay,
cookies.
Thank you. Thank you, internet. Very well done. Very well done. To wrap up, we haven't finished the project yet, but there are three things that we've came across that we thought would be interesting to share. The first one is we've noticed that what really works in classrooms is to visualize the information you're sharing, to simplify it, to tell things in broad strokes, and also to get kids to do things. What we've also learned is that metaphors don't work. Don't ask me why. Then the second one, we spent some time giving Facebook as an example for things and thinking about if we need kids to, or need to teach kids to, I don't know, be better human beings on Facebook. We've talked to them about email. Kids aren't on Facebook, kids don't email, don't waste your time with those topics. The third one, so we've been doing these testing sessions in the last two grades of elementary school, so that's 10, 11, approximately, yeah. And in the first two grades of high school, so that's 12, 13, and
14.
And it's so, so different. So what we've seen is that in elementary school, kids really are excited about learning. They just want you to tell them how stuff works, and they'll start exploring things on their own. In elementary school, shit happens, like what Hank said before, your program gets taken over by porn and open wound pictures. So you need a different approach. So we think that the material can kind of stay the same, but perhaps the level of simplification has to be a bit different. And it's also just slightly harder work in high school. So maybe you can do less in the amount of time, in the same amount of time. I think that was it. We'll be here to answer questions, and we'll also be at chat, and we're really interested to get your experiences and ideas about how we can explain this topic. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Evelyn and Hank, for developing this educational material. Are there any questions in the room? Yes, please step up to the mic. Mic number one.
Oh. Hi. Thanks for the talk. I had a question. In the context of privacy and kids, kids are often denied privacy under seemingly legitimate, well, depending on who you listen to, right, reasons, right? Like, generally, kids have access to the internet either at school or via connection that's provided by the parents, and lots of parents think that it's okay to invade kids' privacy because you know, it's my house and you live by my rules. Is that something that you address at all, like the risk of parents listening to their communications, and how do you deal with parents not agreeing with the message you're delivering in the classroom, maybe?
Do you want to take that?
No, so we were playing with the idea to put it in the first tryout to give kids also tools to get privacy from their parents, but it didn't come through yet. But it's still, it's a good idea to do.
Yeah. But no, it's not in there right now.
No.
But it's a, yeah, it's a good question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, you said, don't ask me why, metaphors are bad, and I'm going to ask you why metaphors are bad, and also because you gave a wonderful metaphor for doing transport encryption, so why?
It's not a metaphor.
Is it?
No.
Well, I think, yeah, you might be able to answer it better, but I think why this works is because you can see it and you can do it. So there's something visible that kids at the spot have to find a solution for. Do you have an example of a type of metaphor that doesn't work?
Yeah, yesterday somebody told me that not caring about privacy is almost the same as killing your grandparents. I thought that's a really bad metaphor.
So maybe that's a lesson, bad metaphors don't work? Or? So you asked about the cookie, about how you could teach that without a computer, and you could do it with a bit of a metaphor, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe you could give some, if you have some sites, just put people on stage who are sites, and then they hand out sheets and give them to people with a random number, and you, for example, stick them to your forehead, to every visitor who comes around gets a cookie, and then you can keep track of which number comes along or maybe you use photos or little other things, smileys yeah. or something else. You can note down their activity on that site. Hey, you wanted to buy this one. Now, oh, write down you like shoes.
Yeah.
And then you can later serve them adverts or something like that.
That's good idea.
It's yeah. really nice metaphor.
Yeah, nice metaphor.
Hello. I think it's very good what you're doing. The initiative is very good, but it's also, I guess, pretty difficult to get into the regular school curriculum and to make sure that the message gets heard. Is there anything as a parent that you can do to start helping your kid understand these issues and giving them, you know, the necessary insights so they can be responsible online?
You're the parent. What do you do?
I share information with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And what to do with it, I suppose, it's up to them.
Okay. So there's nothing like, you know, for example, board games or any, you know, educational style tooling that you are aware of?
No, so I use a lot of the programs we develop to try out on my kids. So my son is sitting over there. He's one of the victims.
But maybe you could find a local fab lab because they usually do these creative learning type processes and they might have something specifically on this topic.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any more brilliant ideas, suggestions or questions? No? Well, you can talk with Evelyn and Henk after the talk. I want to thank you very much, and I hope to see it soon in the classrooms.
No. We too. Thank you. Thank
Please
you for
give a warm round of applause.